discussing the topic of Amira Le'ena Yehudi. And to be perfectly honest, I don't remember exactly everything that we covered or precisely where we left off, but hopefully we won't repeat that much and we'll move on. The basic halacha is, as it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that anything that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do for you. That's the basic halacha. That's the starting point. However, you know, there are some exceptions to this rule, and that's, I think, a lot of the discussion is understanding where there are exceptions, where they apply, etc. So, okay, so the one idea is the following, that although the halacha applies both by things that are usur min ha-Torah for the Jew, and as well as things that are only usur min ha-Rabbanan, either category, both categories, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do for you under regular circumstances. However, when it comes to things that are only usur min ha-Rabbanan, which the term for that being a shvus, so there the halacha is that there are certain situations where it will be permissible to ask a non-Jew to do it, and that is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Zayin and Sif Hei, where the Lashon of the Mechaber is davar she'eino malacha, something which is not a malacha, meaning not a malacha d'oraisa, ve'eino asur lasosu b'shabbos ela mishum shvus. It's only asur to do. It's only asur for a yid to do it on Shabbos because of a shvus and isur d'rabbanan. Mutter li Yisrael lo malayni hudi lasosu b'shabbos. It is mutter for a Jew to ask a non-Jew to do it from on Shabbos. Vehu, provided she yesham miksas choli, either a situation of miksas choli, someone who's somewhat ill, and we'll try to define that. It's Hashem. O yehi et tzarech ledavar tzarech harbe, or that there's a great need for the thing to be done on his behalf, meaning the prime case being that it would the Jew stands to lose a lot of money otherwise. It is a possibility or a likelihood of a great hefsid, of incurring a great hefsid, unless something is done, which is asur mi d'rabbanan to do, so the Jew himself can't do it, but that's another case that he could ask a non-Jew to do it on his behalf. Or the third thing, oh, mipnei mitzvah, or a situation of a mitzvah, that would be another case where it'd be permissible. So let's start with the first one. Let's go in the order of the Shulchan Aruch. Miksas choli. I mean, there are different levels when we're dealing with the person that is ill or that is suffering some sort of ailment, some sort of medical condition. We can break it into four levels. The top level, the worst level, is chole sheyesh bo sakana. So someone who is, Rachman al-San, ill enough that he's suffering from some sort of life-threatening illness, or he suffers an injury on Shabbos, which is life-threatening, which needs immediate medical attention to try to, you know, to save the person, that he shouldn't chas v'shalom perish. So that's the extreme situation where the halach is even a Jew could be mechal Shabbos, whether the person himself, you know, to help himself, or another Jew could be mechal Shabbos on his behalf, whether it's to drive into the hospital or whether it's to actually do malachim, to perform surgery or to turn on a light in order to see how to, you know, how to treat him, whatever it is, anything, if it's necessary. If a non-Jew is available who could do it with the same alacrity, without delay, and, you know, the same, you know, just as skilled, so then that's a preference. But you don't go looking for someone else. If the Jew is the one who's readily available, then it's permissible for the Jew, and it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be mechal Shabbos to save a life. So that's when there's either sakana or even a suffix sakana, situation where it's not vaday sakanas nechfashos, but it's a possibility. Let's say God forbid a person suffering some chest pains, which may be the sign of a serious heart attack or some, you know, a heart condition which needs immediate attention, or whatever it is, a person gets a type of a bite, from an animal bite, or a bite from a rodent, which may be a sakana, if it has to be, you know, may need to be treated right away to prevent sakana, you know, blood poisoning or whatever it may be. Okay, so that's the extreme case. So, but that's not what, but other than that level, there are three levels, and that will go down to, that was the highest level. We're going to go down to the bottom now. The bottom level is what's called mechesh ba'alma. You know, something's bothering him. He doesn't feel, you know, how are you feeling today? Well, not great. Not great, but it's not a choli at all. It's a mechesh ba'alma. It's something, you know, the person has a cold. He's a cold and, you know, feeling a little run down and whatever it is, but not, it doesn't stop him from getting up and doing what he needs, and he's not incapacitated by it in any way. And it's mechesh ba'alma. So then you're not even allowed to ask a guy to help you, to do anything for you. The next level is called miksas choli. Miksas choli is where the person is suffering something which is not, doesn't affect his whole body, and it doesn't incapacitate him either. He can function, but he's suffering. So let's say he has something, he has a pain. He hurt his arm, and it's really sore. It's really bad. It really hurts, and it doesn't affect his whole body, but it's a localized pain. But there's something which if a guy were able to do for him, or if usher to do on Shabbos, usher mitra rabbanon to do, which if he could do, it would help him. It would help alleviate the pain. So he could ask a guy to, for example, let's say a case like that where the person is suffering from a strong pain in one part of his body, where a medication would help, a certain medication, pain reliever or some other medication would help if it was applied. And he doesn't have medication, but it's available in the drugstore. So going to the drugstore is only a din d'rabbanan, assuming you know the person doesn't have to drive. The drugstore is within walking distance. And carrying between your house and the drugstore, assuming like in most of our streets, is only a d'rabbanan. You live where the area, the streets are a caramel, even if there's no Eruv. There's no way, but there could be an Erev, meaning you live in a place which is only Asr to Rabbanan to carry. It's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Doraisa. So carrying is only to Rabbanan. Going to the drugstore and paying for drugs, you know, paying for anything is Rabbanan. So you could ask a guy to go to the drugstore for you, to walk to the drugstore. At least you ask him to walk. And just one second. And to you make the purchase on your behalf and buy you this thing which could help alleviate your pain. Now, if it's only a mix of choli and it's not chol kalaguf, etc., so then kashal as well, you can't necessarily take it on Shabbos because you can't take medication unless the person reaches the level of a chola. But it could be a situation, some of the medications the goy could, something that has a cream that has to be applied or let's say a liquid to for a burn which has to be applied, so you could have it could be put on like indirectly, you put on a little bit above and have it roll down onto the spotter. Something like that. So let's just say a case like that where the type of thing where it's not restricted by the halachas of refuah, but to get it you would have to be violated the rabbanan. So that's called mixas choli. You can't do anything yourself, and you can't ask a guy to do a deraisa. If it would involve a malacha deraisa, you can't even ask a guy. Refuah itself is the rabbanan.
Why can't the guy apply himself to?
Yeah, well, maybe he could. I mean, it depends what it is. Yeah.
In the burn case,
right. Especially if he doesn't rub, he just dabs on you. Yeah.
What says the difference between the first case and the second case?
The first case, it's less than that. A guy who has a cold, he comes to work. He says, "Oh, you look a little. Yeah. I'm feeling really run down. I have a cold."
Just the level of discomfort.
Yeah, level of comfort. Right, exactly. The level of discomfort of pain. It's not a severe pain. It's a mechesh ba'alma. It's doesn't even reach that bar. Okay. I think most poskim, at least in the United States, consider it to be the rabbanon.
So, like for a heating pad, for example,
let's say someone who has a problem, a reoccurring pain, and sometimes the only way to get rid of it is a heating pad. So, can you ask the guy to turn it on? Yeah, you could. If it makes us, assuming the person, ask the guy to apply it for you. Yeah, then that would be. That would be pashas of the rabbanon. You could ask the guy to turn on for you. Yes. Good example. Okay. Then the third madrega is called a chola. Ain't bo sakana, but he's a chole, which chole is defined either as something which affects his whole body, meaning, let's say a pain, let's say a headache, a bad headache, where it doesn't just, it's not just his head that hurts, you know, everything hurts, everything, it's hard to get up, it's hard to function, his whole body is, or someone who has a bad backache, you know, bad back pain, that area, we should never know from it, but we see people that sometimes with severe back pain that, you know, they can't move, and that's chala, it's called chala kala guf, there's no sakana, they're not going to die from it, even if they stay that way the whole Shabbos, but it's chala kala guf. Or the other chala kala guf is nafal lemishkov, a person's sick enough that he has to lie down, so the emotional person has the flu, again, he's not running a dangerously high fever or anything like that, but he has the flu and he feels really run down. It's not a cold, it's the flu, and he feels really sick, and he's lying in bed. So there, you could ask a guy to do anything, not just the rabbanim. You could ask a guy to do a deraisa, even if to drive you, for example. Let's say you want to see a doctor, who could prescribe medication, possibly whatever. So you could have the guy, you know, drive you to a doctor, or the guy drives somewhere, even if he has to pick up medication, he would have to do a deraisa, he would have to drive to get it. It's not walking distance. He would have to drive, or anything like that. You'd be allowed to ask him to do that. So when if let's say you want to, there's somebody who's, you have a Jewish, you know, doctor nearby who's willing to examine you, but he needs a light turn. He needs his light, you know, looks into your throat to see what your throat looks like. So he could ask a guy to turn on the light, even though that's a deraisa. A light with a regular incandescent bulb with a filament, that's deraisa, even though it's, you know, that's deraisa. So, but he could do it. He could ask a guy, because this person is really sick. This person is chala kala guf, and he's allowed to take, the person is allowed to take medication himself, and he's allowed to, you know, if he had to, he'd be allowed to do the rabbanans for himself, or certainly with a shinui. Right, to a chola, a person who's a full-fledged chola, even though Zayn Basakan is allowed to do a derabanan, especially with a shinui, but if he can't do a shinui, he can even do a derabanan biyadayim. But he's certainly allowed to ask a guy to help him to do anything. Okay, so that's not the level we're aiming for now, is the middle level, where he's not that chola. He doesn't have the flu, and he's not incapacitated, but he has something that's very painful. And it's more than just a mechush. It's not just a little. It's not just a cold. It's more than that. So that's called mixes choli. So if it mixes choli, you'd be mut to ask a guy to do a derabanan, not a deraisa, but a derabanan.
So again, what is the difference between how we can pass to the deraisa? Exactly when?
Deraisa is when the person himself is a chola, which is defined as his whole body is affected by it. It's okay, not a local. But his whole body, like a person has the flu, or like I said, a bad headache. It's not just that his arm hurts. His arm could hurt really bad, but, you know, it doesn't. He gets around.
But the person is functional.
He's functional. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But a person who's his whole body, he has to lie down in bed. He can't. And even if he's unable to lie in bed because he has certain responsibilities, something he has to do, he has to take care of. But he wants nothing more than to lie in bed. He wants to go home and lie in bed. He can't yet because whatever it might be. So that could still be called a chola. That's a full fledged chola. Imbo sakana, but he's a chola. And so, like I said, he'd be allowed to. So he's allowed to ask a guy to do anything for him. So most people who are hospitalized, hopefully, you know, if they're not yesh basakana, which I hope they're on, but they're at least chal shein basakana, typically. So in the hospital, a person can typically ask any non-Jewish staff member to do anything they need for their well-being or comfort. Okay. So
even the
rice, right?
So you say that they can also be driven to the hospital, but by him getting in the car, it's not the oraita from him.
I mean, he has to go to open the door so he doesn't turn on the light.
Okay.
And getting in a car is not, if you're not driving, it's not the oraita. You're not doing it to the oraita. It's not even necessarily like any sort of rabbana per se. It's, well, there are two things involved. One thing is a zilzal Shabbos normally,
right.
But also it could be that the extra weight that you put in the car causes more gas combustion, but. It's also not viewed as an issur d'oraisa. That's maybe a psikresha d'lo nichale, right? I'm not, I don't want to cause the guy make the guy spend more gas because I'm sitting in the back of his car. You know, so that's not the right. So getting a car is not the right. So if a person is legitimately ill, even Amos Sakana, but he's legit and he really needs medic, he could really benefit from seeing a doctor or from going to the hospital and having where hopefully he could be treated for whatever it is. He's allowed to. That's why, if he needs to, he's allowed to make a phone call with a preferably with a shinui, but making phone calls also the rabbanon. So you try to use a shinui, use your knuckle to touch the pad or press the buttons, whatever you need to make the call, and then you know, or you know, whether he's ordering an Uber or whatever it is, a car service, or if he has to contact the doctor to, you know, to find out what to do. If a person is a full-fledged chola, he'd be allowed to do it. And so I'll just mention, that's why it's important to know this also, because if a person is in that matzah, like say, a guy could do anything for him, but a Jew can't. A Jew can only be over and over, I mean, a deraisa, a Jew can only drive him to the hospital or do any other issa deraisa for him if it's yesh bo sakana. If it's a chola she yesh bo sakana, or at least, you know, chshash sakana, suffix sakana. Only then could a Jew be Michal Shabbos on his behalf, either whether the Jew is himself or another Jew. So in terms of calling Hatzalah is on Shabbos is should be limited to when there's a suspicion, a concern of Sakana, either clearly Sakana or Chshash Sakana. When Chshash Sakana, the person has to get to the hospital pronto, because let's say the person's having chest pains. It might be nothing, but it definitely needs to be checked out. It's not it's not something he could just say, I'll sit around there till after Shabbos, or even, you know, afford to waste time getting the medical attention that he needs. So that's where Hatzalah comes in on Shabbos, because they'll do it more, with more alacrity and et cetera. But if it's something where it's not that way, let's say a person gets a cut, or a child, very common case, right? Child falls and Shabbos, gets a cut, maybe on his head, whatever it is, and it's, you know, deeper than the average aches, scrapes and bruises that he gets. And you may be, even this is what happens often, you walk him over to somebody's house who's a medical, you know, a doctor or a PA, whatever, or a Hatzalah member, and you say, what do you think about this cut? And he looks and he says, you know, it's Friday night. He says, I don't think you should wait till after Shabbos. It could get infected. It's deep enough. It needs to be cleaned out and it needs to be dressed. And that doesn't mean get to the hospital within the next 5 minutes or else, you know. That means don't wait till after Shabbos. Right, you know, but it's not an emergency. That it doesn't mean okay, get his Hatzalah, jump into the ambulance or anything and drive him to the hospital. No, Chas v'Shalom. It means call a cab. You use a shinui to call a cab or to activate your phone for Uber if you have it, whatever it is, or have a guy drive him to the hospital and have, hopefully there'll be non-Jewish physicians who will tend to it, etc. But it's not. It might be something. It might be a chashash infection, which means, yeah, if you let it go the whole Shabbos, it might eventually get infected and then potentially sakana. But not if it takes, you know, 10 extra minutes or an extra hour, maybe many hours. You know, it should be taken. Don't wait till after Shabbos. But he's not saying. If he looks at something, he sees something of the person, he says, you know, drop everything, get to the hospital this second. It's a different story, but that's not the common case. You probably wouldn't be walking, you know, that's not the common. The common case is things like this, where his hashara is, a medical hashara, he says, yes, you definitely should have this taken care of. Don't wait till after Shabbos, okay? But that's the case where you have a guy.
What happens if the injury occurs in a place, let's say, that's far away from the hospital? So we had to come. Is someone allowed to travel?
Yes, if he has to, if it's a legitimate chola, then he could. Yes. Okay. So given this, so getting back to Shus, the Shus again is the lower madrega. It's not even chola, but it's a mixas chola. Okay, that's one category. That's the first category in the Shulchan Aruch. Second category was. Tzarech harbe, so the Mishnah Berurah says on that. Ayin b'magen avram shemasek the davka b'magen hefset gadol. Abalav hachi ein lahachol klal. Okay, so Hefsa Gadol could be an example. I saw in Rabbi Simcha Binu comes Sefer gives some nice examples. Let's say a person has a freezer which is well packed, well stocked with frozen meat and fish, and you know, he buys maybe get a good price or whatever it is he buys, but it's stocked. It's a good price for each package, but it's quite a few $100 worth of stuff, or maybe more, packed with stuff, and the plug got knocked out, or somehow the freezer got turned off, and you realize this. It happened on Shabbos, so you just realized it on Shabbos. Maybe you were cleaning it before Shabbos, and you turned it off a second, and it turned off, you know, temporarily, and forgot to plug it back. And now it's Shabbos, and it's not plugged in. And if it's going to stay a whole Shabbos, you know, it's the stuff's going to get ruined. Especially if the door, I mean, it's a Metzias question, because sometimes if the door just stays shut the whole time and you never done, it won't affect, you know, freezer could stay cold, but let's get into a situation where maybe it was opened already a few times or whatever it is, or maybe at the time you notice, the reason why you notice is because you have this little alarm on the freezer which goes off to tell you that, you know, and you open it up and it's already, looks like Niagara Falls inside. So, you know, it didn't just happen 5 minutes ago. It happened long enough ago, and it's only Friday night, and if you're going to wait till after Shabbos, it's going to be a big hefset. So then you can get a guy to plug in and turn it on. This is going with what we mentioned before, in response to Rabbi Schwartz's question, that assuming that activating electricity, utilizing electricity is the Rabbanan, because you can only ask a guy to do it with the Rabbanan, right? You can't ask a guy to do it with the Raisa, he had to save your money. So it's the Rabbanan, it has to be Shus to Shus. So going with the Shita, now, you know, there's a famous Chazonish, that was in the base of the question, famous Chazonish that suggests that electricity is an Issa Deraisa of Bona. Maybe we'll talk about this. So, could be we'll learn some of the bone in Yanim soon, but the Chazanish, you know, is noted that way, and that it's a derisive bone. But many others don't go with that mahalach, and you know, disagree with that, and work with the premise, the working premise that it's only the various derabbanans involved in electricity, exactly what they are, but. And so we may be able to have the guy plug in the freezer or turn the freezer back on would be a derabbanan. So asking him to do it would be a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. That'd be one example. Or another example, you question like moving muksa, in order to you left something outside which could get stolen, an item which is muksa, but it's an expensive item, and it was left outside. And if you leave it overnight, very good chance that you're not going to see it the next day. So to ask a guy to move it into the house, or to move it into your shed, and you know, and lock it up, and that, so that it would be protected. He's just asking him to move muksa, which is the Rabbanan, which he'd be allowed to do also to prevent a significant loss.
If a person arrives to his house, Shabbat in the night, and he sees that he forgot to turn off one of the stoves, you can actually go and get a guy to turn it off?
Well, I mean, what's involved there? Is it first of all?
It gets really hot, and you feel like the furniture in the top of part of the kitchen is starting to get hot.
Okay, so if it's going to ruin something, if it's really going to warp your cabinets and ruin them, and they'd have to replace, that would be a reason. If it's dangerous, depending on who's in the house, theoretically, possibly could be dangerous. But so if it's dangerous, for sure. If it otherwise, it depends. I don't know if leaving, if you just the expense of leaving it on over Shabbos, I'm not sure if that's
it. It gets really hot.
Really? Okay, so you mean because, you know, it's hard to function in the kitchen. It gets very hot in the kitchen. And,
No. Like the cabinets. Okay, so say, like, so getting mamash hot.
So are they going to get ruined? I mean, what's going to happen?
Yeah, it might get ruined or
lit. So, or what?
Or lit.
Lit? You mean actually catch fire?
Yes. Oh. I can imagine. I didn't leave it on... uncover, so
okay, no. So maybe you can cover it with something. You can cover the flame with a blech or something or whatever. But okay, you have to figure out the mitzvah. If it's a shash sakana, really, then of course you can get a guy to turn it off.
And if it's just if destroying the kitchen.
So if it destroys something that, you know, would be a significant loss, you'd have to replace the cabinets. Mamish, it's going to cost you a lot of money to have the old cabinet, have the cabinets pulled off the wall, and have them and buy new ones and have them installed. It's going to be a lot of money. Then yeah, you could do it for that as well, right? Okay, just see if there's another. Another example that Rabbi Simcha Ben Kohen gives in the Sefer is, let's say an appliance that was turned on. A child turned on an appliance which, if you leave it running the whole Shabbos, it's going to burn itself out. It's going to, I mean, expensive appliance, or an air conditioner was on and it and in a climate where it got colder than expected, and the air conditioner freezes over, and it's still on. If it stays that way for many hours, it could break. So with cases like that, you could ask a guy to turn it off. And that's for sure the Rabbanan. Even if your electricity is deraisa, but turning off an appliance or an air conditioner is for sure only the Rabbanan, for reasons that we'll see later. Okay, so that's situation number two of Makam Hefsid. And then the third thing is Makam Mitzvah. So Makam Mitzvahs could have a lot of examples. Let's say for you discover Friday night you realize you don't have Lecha Mishnah, or you don't have wine for Kiddush, or some of the other, you know, the main staples of the Shabbos Suda you're missing, and there's a neighbor that you can go and ask to lend you something, but again there's no Erev where you're in the place that I'm describing, but it's only the Rabbanim. The streets are a Carmelist, so it would only be necessary the Rabbanim for the guy to carry, or for anyone, I mean for you to carry, it only be necessary the Rabbanim. So you could ask a guy, even though now we're talking about it's already into Shabbos itself, it's after Tzeitzuk Chachavim, but you could ask a guy to go to your neighbor or you can go with the guy to your neighbor and ask him if he could carry the Lecha Mishnah or the wine or whatever it is you need. Or let's say Mitzvah Hechnasas Archim, you have guests and you realize that you don't have enough bed linen or a blanket. It got chilly and you probably don't have a blanket for the guests or sufficient blankets the guests or even for yourself. Let's say for yourself for Onig Shabbos, it got really cold and you know unseasonably or unlocationably cold, and you don't even have a blanket, and it's not much cold in your room, especially maybe you left the air conditioning on because that's what you always do, and all of a sudden it's freezing cold in the room. And you don't need the air conditioner turned off necessarily, but you need a blanket. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to sleep. You'll fall asleep, and then you'll wake up. It's going to be a mamish, a bittel of Onik Shabbos, a real bittel of Onik Shabbos, because you can't sleep under that. Then, assuming you don't have another room to sleep or another place to sleep where it's warmer, so you could ask a guy to bring over a blanket from a neighbor and carry it through the streets at the Rabbanan.
So going back to my subject of the kitchen, if you don't know if there's a risk of monetary loss, but it's just stealing your thoughts, like you can't focus on anything else but the stove being on.
Go to a shear. Go to a deep shear, and you'll. I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I mean, it's causing people like emotional distress.
Like you start worrying. Like worry that what might happen, it might get burned, it might, and maybe nothing's gonna happen, but you're just worried about the situation.
So if I think if the person cannot distract himself from it, or others can't distract him, his wife can't distract him, or it's his wife that's having the issue, and the husband can't distract her. That'd be a bit alone of Shabbos. Also, the mom's gonna ruin the whole Shabbos. You know, literally. Okay, then you could. You can do it. So then the chareda you could do too for if it'll be a bit onik Shabbos.
Wait,
you could do it.
But isn't that the raisa though, turning it off? Let's say
the gas
or
no, turning off is for sure the rabbanim, because so we'll explain. I'll explain right away. But right away,
as soon as you're in a fire itself is
the rabbanim.
Oh, yeah.
Now why is it okay? So why is it the rabbanim? He's saying one of the lamentes malachas, right? Kiboy extinguishes one of the lamentes malachas. Why am I saying it's the rabbanan? It's the rabbanan for the following reason: because the kiboy in the mishkan was not done to get because they didn't want the fire anymore. You know, they, somebody turned the last guy out, turned off the lights. That way, you put out the menorah on the way out. That's not in the mishkan. Check this week's parsha. Palos, not palos. I mean, v'yikulech Hashem and Zayisach Kassel Amar Lahalos Ner Tamid. They didn't put out the menorah. So what was the
kibbutz
to create coals? Right. It was a creation. It wasn't a siluk. It wasn't getting rid of the fire. It was creating the coals. And so putting out a fire, or for that matter, a light or anything, in order to. Because you don't want the fire, you don't want the heat, or you don't want the light, or you just don't want to waste the money. That's called a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa, right? It's being a melacha which is being done not for the purpose that it was done in the Mishkan, and that's permissible. That's the rabbanan. That's the rabbanan for a Jew to do. It's the rabbanan for a Jew to be. It's the rabbanan. Memela to have a guy do it qualifies, according to many, for the gedder of shvus to shvus. You're asking him to do it the rabbanan. Right? Because you're asking him to do something which could be a deraisa, but to do it, the purpose for which he's being asked to do it, makes it only derabanan. If you would do it for that purpose, you'd only be violating that derabanan. Malach shein tzricha legufa. Now, there is a shaila about that in the poskim, whether malach shein tzricha legufa is enough of a derabanan for to be considered a derabanan for mir la'akum, right? But we are mekel on that. And so, so there are many examples of that. Let's say the light is on in the bedroom and you can't sleep. Person can't sleep. Light is on. You can't. Some people can sleep. Some of them no problem. Especially put a pillow over your head Friday night and could sleep with in a train station. It doesn't. But some people can't. They can't sleep with the light on. Or again, they'll be able to fall asleep for an hour, but then they'll get up and they, by the time the morning comes, they'll have slept. You know, they'll fall asleep many times, which means they woke up many, many times and they're all groggy and mamish a bit the learning Shabbos. So you can have a guy turn off the light. You can ask a guy to turn off the light. You ask him to do it with the Rabbanan. And that's a darn tzarech onik Shabbos. You'd be allowed to do it. Now, we're not getting the whole parsha of Ramiza hinting right now, but that would be, if you could have him do it through hinting, if you could hint to him without explicitly asking him, please turn off the light, you could just hint to him that, the light's on in my bedroom, so difficult to sleep. And he says, I get it, you know, show me, you know, may I walk in and put up, that would be better. But, because if you could avoid the direct deeper, so you avoid it. But, Lamaisa, it would be winter. There's a case of that that's brought, a famous case that brought in Shulchan Aruch, brought at least in all the Nosi Kalim of Shulchan Aruch, and that is the case of a woman, a married woman, whose Leil Tevila falls out on a Friday night, and she neglected to cut her nails. Let's talk about her fingernails. She didn't cut her fingernails before Shabbos, and they're long enough that she's not allowed to go to the mikveh with that nails of that length, even if they're clean. So, but she can't cut, it's already Shabbos, she can't cut them herself, but the halacha says she could ask a guy to cut them for her. Now, because it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa, even though cutting nails is a malacha deraisa, whether you do it for the purpose of the nail, which is not that common, at least by us, or you do it for the purpose of yofi, of you know, of beautification, of beautifying the guf, it's still a malacha deraisa. But if you're only doing it letzarech tevila, then it's not. She's not doing it tolak nai. She's doing it because the halacha says she has to cut a nail before she goes to the mikveh. So to do it for the purpose of tevila is called a malacha shein tzricha legufa. And it's the Rabbanan. Now, it does say in Halacha, this is a major discussion in Yerideya, in the Taz and Shach, in Simkuf Tzadiches, whether it's Taka better to do that, or under these circumstances, should she Taka just go, make sure they're perfectly clean, and go with the nails? There's a big shayla about the big, you know, discussion, the Shach and Tazia. The way we paskin lemais is that she should have a guy cut them, and the Mishnah Berurah brings this, even though the Mishnah Berurah didn't write in Yerideya, but he brings this in the Archaim, of course, in Simon Shin Mem. The very beginning of Simon Shin Mem, there's the first page of Bir Halacha, the very bottom of the page, and the Bir Halacha goes over to the next page. He discusses this case, and he brings there, as the poskim say in Yerideya, it's really better if she would ask the guy to cut the nails off without using a nail clipper, but simply to break them off or bite them off. That's what it says. If you can get a guy to bite, she can get a guy to bite off her nails in a way that they will be sufficiently cut. That's always one thing. Like, how can a guy to bite them off so perfectly that you could, now she could go to the mikveh without having jagged edges and put. But okay, you know, it's not the biggest deal, I imagine. So if you can get a guy to bite the nails off or break them off beyond, it says it is better to do that. But if you can't do that, it is mutter to have the guy cut him off with a nail clipper. And I believe in today's common practice, they skip the biting step, especially after, you know, even long before COVID. I mean, but once, you know, people concerned with blood diseases through transfer through blood and body fluids and stuff like that. So biting, having someone else bite the nails went out of style a long time ago. But even the post can say if you can't get someone to do it that way, you could get that. Now, but the point I want, the reason why I mentioned that is because what's the advantage of having them bite them off? It's a shinui, right? It's a shinui. So better if the guy can do it with the shinui. Now,
can you use like the cleaver in a weird way, like put the cleaver.
If they could, if you, then you really need a skilled person that could hold a nail clipper like between their knuckles, and that's probably harder than biting them off. Now, the thing is like this, that so that seems to say that, oh, having a guy do something with a shinui is also better than having the guy do it directly, because maybe that's also shinui, really, is also the rabbanon. And this is a big discussion in the poskim. Could you ask a guy to do something which is a malacha d'oraisa but with a shinui? For example, turning on a light, right? Turning on a light is a malacha d'oraisa, right? Can't turn on a light on Shabbos, and of course not. You can't even ask a guy to turn on a light on Shabbos. And not only that, even if a guy turns on the light for you on Shabbos, the guy sees that, I think we mentioned this last week, right? If a guy sees you sitting in the dark and he goes over and he does you a favor and turns on the light, you're not allowed to use the light. You even have to leave. If it's not your house, you might have to leave. But you certainly can't use the light if the guy turns it on for the Jew.
What about air conditioner?
Wait, give me just one second. So the light is for the Raisa. But what about asking him to turn on with the shinui? Could you please use your elbow? Well, it's very easy to use an elbow or back of a hand to turn on a light, to flip a light switch. It doesn't take much skill for that at all. So that's a shinui. So perhaps that should be mutter. Where shus is mutter, right? But makom, let's say makom mitzvah, right? Makom mitzvah, which we're talking about. Perhaps the makom mitzvah should be mutter to ask a guy to do a malacha with a shinui. Or even, let's say your crock pot is not plugged in. And let's say the food is cooked already, or it's partially cooked, so there's no shail of bishel akum. But it's Friday night, the plug came out, and by tomorrow, even if the food's cooked, it's going to be cold. I mean, it's not going to be worth eating. So maybe you could ask the guy to turn it on with a shinui, which if the machine itself is not on, so it's not that hard to use a shinui to turn the dial with a shinui. Even if the machine is on, but the plug is out, so you could ask him to turn it off first, turn off the machine, then plug it in, so nothing happened. And by the way, the post can say with that, there's really nothing wrong with plugging in a plug, other than maybe muksa. There's nothing wrong with plugging in a plug if the machine's not on, if whatever it is not on. If nothing's going to happen at all, nothing's going to happen when you plug it in, then there's nothing wrong with plugging in, because, and the Rav Shlomo Zalman says, even according to the Chazon Ish, that holds it's d'oraisa, but it's not d'oraisa, it's not plugging in something, it's not d'oraisa when it's off, it's only when it's on. And it's not inherently bona that you attached it to the wall, because it's attached to the wall, but it's not a part of the house, it's not a part of the binyan.
Yeah, but many times when I plug in, there is like a small light coming away.
Okay, so if there is, then I'm not discussing that. Or then maybe by Amir Lak, I might get into the Rabban. It's probably a Rabban, like some sort of LED light or something. But I'm saying about something where there's nothing. You know, the old type, the old appliance is something where plug in, it will do absolutely nothing. Okay, but so let him turn off the crock pot, plug it in, and then turn it back on with a shinui. Is that okay? Is that okay to, to do malacha with a shinui? So that's another big discussion in the poskim, whether a shinui makes it a derabanan, so it's a shus to shus. It's a double derabanan. You know, you're asking the guy to do with a shinui. So there are achronim that are machmer and achronim that are mekel. So what I want to show is that l'char, we have an example here where the poskim say to be mekel. The poskim say it's better to get the guy to bite him off, and they seem to be working with the fact that a shinui is a mila. Having a guy do with a shinui is better than having a guy doing it directly. So some say you can't bring an absolute raya from there, because that shinui is not just a shinui in the pu'ula, in the way it's done, but it's a shinui in the outcome, right? When if the guy bites off the nails or breaks them off, it's not going to be the same outcome as if he cut it with a nail clipper. So maybe that type of a shinui, where the shinui is nicker in the final product, maybe that's mutter. Whereas if it's just a question of the shinui and the way you do it, turning the light on with your elbow rather than with your finger, where the guy doing it with his elbow, not his finger, where that it makes zero, the outcome is exactly the same. Maybe that kind of shinui, not there. Those that suggests that chiluk. Al kapanim, there are according to rely on that. Again, but makom, it still has to be makom mitzvah. It has to be one of the three categories, either makom mitzvah or makom hefsid. a tzorach harbei of hefsid or mixas choli. You can't stam ask a guy to do a malach with a shino, even at the rabbanon, because you can't ask him to do with the rabbanon stam. You know, even a full-fledged rabbanon, you can't ask him to do it. Only, but when you meet one of these three, when you're in one of these three categories, that's where there are acharim to rely on, that you could ask a guy to do something which is inherently deraisa, but ask him to do with a shino. Now, what are you asking about air conditioning? So turning on the air conditioning is, first of all, there are two points. First, turning on the air conditioning is the Rabbanan. If you don't hold the Chazon Ish, the electricity is the Raisa, so turning on the air conditioning is the Rabbanan. So then if it's a Makom Mitzvah, if it's really hot and it's hard to learn, or it's a bit Onik Shabbos, it's Mamish, it's really hot, then that would be a Heter. That would be a Makom. But there's another side Heter. And that is that it says in Shulchan Aruch that if it's very cold, you're allowed to ask a goy to do even a doraisa to light a furnace. Mamish, the malacha doraisa, mamish, light up a furnace to heat up your house. Very cold. You live in. Why? Because people tend to get sick from the cold. Hakol chalan eitzel hatzina. And for a chol, we said before, you're allowed to have a goy do even a doraisa, right? A goy can do anything, even a malacha doraisa, mamish, to prevent choli or to alleviate choli. So hakol chalan eitzel hatzina. Everybody's considered a chola in the face of a cold, chol, and eitzel. What did I say? Tzina, yeah, cold, right. So supposedly, well, what about extreme heat? Let's say it's very hot. Would we say the same rule? A cold, chol, and eitzel, ha-chom? So you say, well, the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara only said by cold. Well, the Gemara didn't say that, maybe because there was nothing you could do about it. Before air conditioning, so what are you going to do? So it's very, very hot. So therefore what? You can ask the guy to... What? Nothing you can do about it. But now that there's air conditioning, there is something you can do about it. You can turn on the air conditioning. So a number of poskim say yes. Yes, the same rule applies. Hakol cholim eitzel ha'chom. I'm not talking about when, you know, it's 71 in the room and I really like it 69. You know, I'm not talking about that kind of chom. I'm talking about it's chom and the air conditioning is off and it's hot. It's really hot. It's really hot and people are suffering. People are very uncomfortable and suffering from the heat. So that could lead to cholim. And therefore, you could ask a guy to alleviate it by turning on air conditioning.
What if it's just like uncomfortable? Like, I wouldn't mean to fall asleep, but it's not like...
Okay, so then you won't have the rule of hakol cholim eitzel hachom, but lamaise, it's still the rabbanon. If you're not machmer for chazon ish by electricity, it's still the rabbanon. So you're still asking a guy only to do with the rabbanon, which if you're gonna have trouble sleeping, or it's a bittel onik Shabbos. But you have guests coming over and the room is really hot. The air conditioning wasn't left on or is left on much too high, and you have a room full of guests and people are really going to be uncomfortable. They're not going to enjoy the Shabbos meal. So then, you could ask a guy to...
They have
to do it for a visa? No, so you could ask him directly because it's shus to shus. Yes, it's an advantage because hakal hakal tchila, the least we have to do, we do. So if you could get the message to the Ramiza, but Ramiza doesn't even help so much here because Ramiza helps mostly by things where there's no hana. Here there's a direct hana from it, so it still helps me. So Al-Kopan, the answer is if necessary, you could ask a guy in that case. Okay, we'll pick it up, Ezra Shem, next time.